Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. And remember, I am with you even to the end of the age." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, our minds to know you, our hearts to love you, and our hands to serve you. Amen. The story goes about a man and his wife and his two children who lived in a small town out in the country somewhere. They loved raising their family there. They were involved in all sorts of things throughout the town, and especially their church. The girls went to Sunday school, and they were active on committees. It was the center of their lives. They loved their little church. And as time passed, things changed, as they do. The kids grew up. The kids moved away and settled in towns far from the little town they were in. And things at church changed. Pastors came and went. The beloved pastor who had baptized and confirmed and married the daughters was gone. The new pastor came and didn't quite know the whole family story. Then the man's wife died. And that kind of shook his world. He wasn't quite sure. And he felt so sad, he decided to stay home on Sundays more and more. His friends started dying. He went to more and more funerals. And his world became smaller and smaller till he pretty much remained at home except for the occasional visitor who would come and see him. And a new pastor came to the church and was interested in learning about some of the older generation. And so the pastor called and said, "May I visit you?" and was invited out to the house. And it was a cold day, and the man had a little fire in the fireplace. They came and sat together in front of the fire, and they didn't talk much. Pastor asked some questions, but the man wasn't really in a mood for talking. He wasn't sure what this pastor was doing in his house. So they just sat, and as they looked at the fire, the pastor then got up, and he took a piece of wood burning bright red, and he took those iron tongs, and he simply went to the fire. He took that little piece of wood, and he moved it off to the edge of the hearth, and they looked at it, and they watched the bright red glowing turn to black as it lost its energy and its heat. And then the pastor went, he got the tongs, and he took the same piece now of black hardwood, and he put it back in the fire. And they watched it grow and glow bright red again. It was time for the pastor to go, so they said a couple pleasant words, and he left the house, and the pastor was not sure that he would ever see this man again. But the man had watched and had seen what happened. And then next Sunday, the pastor saw there in the back in his old spot, there was the man. I want to give you guys an image this morning for your confirmation. And that is one of fire. But not the destructive, out of control fire. Rather, the fire that invites us to gather, that warms the room, that ignites and inspires. Fire, as you know, is the image that we get for the Holy Spirit. And when God came as the Holy Spirit, he was also giving us a promise. The short little passage from Matthew is typically called the Great Commission. And it's because of the word go. Go, therefore, is the word we get. A commissioning is a sending out, is a blessing that begins a new journey. But here in this little passage, I also hear not just a commission, but a promise. And I suspect that our only hope of fulfilling that great commission, sharing the good news of God's grace in Christ with the whole world through word and deed, and welcoming everyone into the fellowship through baptism, that's the great commission. Our only hope of fulfilling that is by keeping in mind also the great promise that Jesus gives. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Except notice Jesus' language. It's not future tense. It's not, I will be with you. I am with you. Christ is with us. Even now, even here, even amid our struggles at home or at school or at work or at church or in the world, Christ is with us, encouraging us, comforting us, working with us, guiding us, granting us the grace and courage necessary to be the people of God in the world right now. But I wonder, how much do we sense that God is, that Christ is indeed with us? Maybe in times of tragedy and loss, even when the least religious of us call on God for some extra help. Though, think about it, calling on God is not the same as experiencing God with us. But what about all those other times? The good times, the not so good times, the joyous times, the sad times, the hopeful times, the anxious times. Do we sense God's presence? I'm sure some of us do. And I'm sure some of us don't. And still, Jesus promises, I am with you always to the end of the age, right here, right now, and forever. And maybe the Trinity can help us not just in knowing, but also sensing the presence of God. Because believe it or not, the Trinity reminds us of God's promise in Christ to be with us always. And the Trinity can help us believe that promise. The Trinity can help us by encouraging us to live with the confidence that promise gives to us. And here's how. Because at the heart of the Trinity is the belief that God is by nature communal and loving. One God in three persons whose love is shared and is mutual and is sacrificial, and this love spills out into the world and all of its inhabitants. And you know, the church is called to be the same and to do the same, loving and respecting and caring for each other in a way that spills out into our neighborhoods and our communities and our schools and our workplaces in tangible, beneficial, and inviting ways. And that's part of what promises do. They bind us together. They provide hope and they create courage to live with each other, to support each other, to forgive each other, and to encourage each other. At the heart of every authentic and nurturing and loving relationship, when you think about it, at the heart of that, there's always a promise. In a few minutes, the eight of you will be making promises, not just before God and these people here, but to God and to these people. And church, you will be making a promise to God and to these eight people as well. And you know, these promises that you will make sound a lot like Jesus' promise. I will be with you. I'm for you. You can count on me. I've got your back. Let's see what we can do together. because as soon as we stray too far from the warmth of the fire, we do start to grow cold. So remember this, the fire of Christ and his love will always, always be with you and will never, ever leave you. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Yes, amen, amen. I invite the choir to come and to sing. And rather than speak the Apostles' Creed, which is our tradition, they are going to sing the Nicene Creed. It's another creed written around the same time, and Bernard has set it to music. So I invite you to come and lead us. And as you consider what your offering to God might be this week, I invite you to take that image of the fire. I know it's going to be a hot week, but you know what? Light a candle this week and look at the flame and let that flame remind you of Jesus' promise, the Holy Spirit's promise, and think of these eight young people and the promises you're making together. So fire, let it remind you. The ushers will come to receive our offering.
Thank you.
of dedication, which is printed before you. Almighty God, giver of every good and perfect gift, bless these our gifts and teach us to praise you, not only with our, but with our whole lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We shall not offer God that which costs us nothing. Amen. You may be seated.